So where we are, we're most advanced in the UK. So we've got a demonstration plant in Belfast in Northern Ireland, where we are separating rare earth elements now. The technology came out of Queen's University Belfast, and we've had tremendous support from the UK government on commercializing the technology in the UK. Over the past 4 years, we've built a demonstration plant, we've processed material. Our demonstration plant continues to produce material now. We've developed supply chains where we've actually been the first company in the West to recycle magnets, put them back into the supply chain, put them in the hands of an OEM, and turn that into effectively recycled magnets or magnets using recycled rare earth oxides going into EVs. And we did that earlier this year with our partner Ford. And so we've demonstrated that supply chain in the UK. And that's an opportunity now we're looking to expand into other markets.
Good day, everybody. It's me, Steve Yang here. I am with Tim Harrison, who is the Managing Director and CEO of Ionic Rare Earths. Tim, how are you today?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Steve. How are you?
Not bad at all. Well, Tim, for those who are not familiar with your story, if they're just catching on, if you can, let's start with your website, your ticker, where you're trading.
So look, we're an Australian listed company. So here on the ASX, our code is IXR. And for those who want to trade on the OTC, we are IXRRF. Our website is www.ionicre.com. So ionicre.com.
Tim, I know that you have a rare earth project in Uganda, but before we go there, I did want to ask you, what exactly is Ionic Technologies, and if you can explain the relationship between Ionic Rare Earths and the technology portion.
Ionic Technologies is effectively 100% subsidiary of Ionic Rare Earths. So we own Ionic Technologies, and we're in the process of commercializing technology that's been developed in the UK on rare earth separation. And so we're able to separate the full spectrum of rare earths that come in mineral concentrates and mixed rare earth carbonates. But we're prioritizing the deployment of the technology on recycling of magnets. And in recycling of magnets, we're able to actually separate the individual rare earth elements that exist within material that's already out in society. It's being used every day in a range of different applications, but also material that's generated in the production of new magnets. And so we're able to recycle that, put that back into the supply chain, and provide effectively Western governments, Western customers now with bifurcated supply of, effectively critical strategic raw materials.
So, can you go a little bit further into why is this technology necessary? I know that you talked a little bit about what it does, but like, what's the benefit? What's the demand?
So, if we think about rare earths are readily abundant in the Earth's crust. However, one of the biggest challenges is trying to get them processed in an effective and efficient way. Okay, so what this technology does is it takes and it's able to separate all 15 rare earth elements that typically exist in all rare earth minerals, right? And mineral and mixed rare earth carbonates. Now, the ratio of rare earths that exists in one deposit compared to another is different. And that ratio and the variation in ratio means that the circuit configuration of how you would separate this material also dramatically changes. And so what we've got is we've got technology that's able to separate all 15 rare earth elements. But in essence, Steve, what we've been doing as a business is focusing on the sweet spot of the market, the part of the market that China went to effectively constrict last year with export controls. And so we're focusing on the heavy rare earths. And so our technology is applicable in the separation of heavy rare earths. And what we're doing with magnet recycling is we're actually separating the heavy rare earths away from the neodymium and the praseodymium that exist in conventional neodymium iron boron magnets. And so we're able to extract and separate out the heavy rare earths, but we can apply this technology on a range of other compounds, right? So samarium cobalt magnets, for example, other alloys that contain heavy rare earths that are used in very, very niche, high-end strategic applications. We're able to process that material and put that back in the hands of the consumer so that they can now make the gadgets and the widgets that require small amounts of these elements in order to make the technologies work. So we're really focusing on leveraging our technology now into very, very high margin application products.
So Tim, does this technology already exist and you're doing it better, you're doing it faster, you're doing it cheaper, or are you guys, is this a new thing that's just kind of groundbreaking that we haven't seen before?
Well, look, China's been recycling magnets for 40 plus years, right? So, you know, they've been taking end-of-life material and material from the production of magnets and putting that back into the supply chain, okay? So if we think about recycling and the amount of recycling that's done in the supply chain today, China's, you know, a dominant player in the production of neodymium iron boron magnets. And somewhere between 25 to 40% of the material that goes into the production of magnets ends up as waste. So if we think about shavings and offcuttings, you know, the typically the process when you to make a magnet, you start out with, you know, 100 units of rare earth oxides. So this is pure, clean, separated rare earth material that then gets turned into a metal. The metal gets turned into an alloy. The alloy gets turned into block magnet, and then that block magnet gets cut and shaped. And it's that cutting and shaping at the end where you end up with a significant amount of waste. The smaller the magnet, the more the wastage. And so that wastage typically gets recycled back in the process. And China's been doing it for a long time. And certainly all new Western manufacturers are now of permanent magnets are looking at this recycling as being key to being able to get that waste material back into their process to effectively improve their efficiencies, right? You want to make sure that all of them, these critical and strategic raw materials that you're paying a lot of money for, you know, as inputs are actually going out as finished goods. And so what we're doing is we're using our technology, which is similar in many ways to what China's been doing for a long time. But in the West, there are a number of players that are looking now at recycling because it is actually the fastest way to a non-Chinese rare earth supply chain. It is nascent, it is growing, it is small in volume, but it's one that will grow rapidly as all of this new capacity comes online, especially in the US. Right now, I think there's 7 or 8 facilities in construction that'll produce over 50,000 tons of neodymium iron boron magnets. So extremely large growth underway in the US. We anticipate that that's probably going to generate somewhere in the order of, you know, 17 to 20,000 tons of waste. That material needs to be recycled to actually go back into the supply chain in order for 50,000 tons of finished magnets to be produced. So, you know, we do see a real strong opportunity for ourselves in the US market, you know, to replicate the commercialization technology that we're doing right now in Belfast in the UK and the growth of that technology in the European market. We're now looking at how we can accelerate that in the US market.
So, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong. So this technology, I mean, you said China's been doing this for a while. Yes. Does the same technology exist that they're using, or is this technology that Ionic has, is this more, it exists, but it's the same deal, but with the, you know, Western patent on it, or if you can expound a little bit more of what edge it gives, or, you know, how's this different?
Sure. So what China's been doing, so the separation of rare earths is conventionally done with what's called solvent extraction. It remains the best technology out there. It's a proven technology. And if there was a better technology, dare say the Chinese probably would have identified it, given the amount of money they've invested in rare earth processing. Our technology is exactly the same. We're using solvent extraction. We've got IP across the preparation of magnets, the separation, removal of waste materials, and then the separation of rare earths using solvent extraction, using selective extractants. And so we've got very similar technology, but covered by global patents that does things a little bit differently, which reduces the footprint, it reduces the reagent consumption, and effectively we can go from the rare earth feed material to separated individual rare earth elements in less stages of separation. And that's our unique offering. That's a unique offering that we're bringing to Western markets. You know, we're targeting the commercialization of the technology in the UK as the first plant in Belfast, but now the rapid rollout of that technology in the US, where we're talking with a number of players there. The expansion of the technology into Europe. We've got a joint venture we're developing down in Brazil. And there's a number of other target geographies where we're working closely with governments and companies that are looking at commercialization of neodymium iron boron magnet manufacturing and bringing recycling to the table, because the recycling is actually a mechanism for sovereign capability. So for governments to start to produce their own domestic supply of separated rare earth oxides, which is going to be incredibly important for any country that has ambitions on having sovereign capability of material that's going to go into AI, data centers, robotics, advanced manufacturing, et cetera, et cetera. These are really, you know, the seeds of technology.
So, Tim, where is your technology being used? Who are the consumers, who are the clients, the customers? And if you can also tell me a little bit about the support you're getting from governments.
So where we are, we're most advanced in the UK. So we've got a demonstration plant in Belfast, in Northern Ireland, where we are separating rare earth elements now. The technology came out of Queen's University Belfast, and we've had tremendous support from the UK government on commercializing the technology in the UK. Over the past 4 years, we've built a demonstration plant, we've processed material. Our demonstration plant continues to produce material now. We've developed supply chains where we've actually been the first company in the West to recycle magnets, put them back into the supply chain, put them in the hands of an OEM, and turn that into effectively recycled magnets or magnets using recycled rare earth oxides going into EVs. And we did that earlier this year with our partner Ford. And so we've demonstrated that supply chain in the UK. And that's an opportunity now we're looking to expand into other markets. And we're now selling excess material into a range of different customers. One of those customers publicly, we announced a collaboration agreement a month or two back in the US with a company called Advanced Magnet Labs. And we are now putting material into their effectively validation program, where they're supplying magnets into the Department of War. So we are expanding our breadth. There's a number of other companies we're working with that are not yet public, effectively validation, expansion of opportunities we've done with Ford. We've expanded that supply chain partnership that now includes other customers like Bentley and Wrightbus. So we're expanding that portfolio. In addition to that, we're in discussions with a number of other groups who have requirements for non-Chinese magnet rare earths to go into their high-end consumer electronics and EVs and other applications. And then we're also in a lot of discussions now with this pending and commercializing in construction magnet capacity that's now being built in the US. So we've got a range of different groups that we're working with, all the way from, you know, effectively the end consumer to our value chain partners.
So, Tim, you also have Makutu Rare Earth Project in Uganda. Is that we can talk about the project too, but you know, are you using that technology right now, in your own project, your flagship? If you can talk about the results you've had, I mean, how successful is this technology really?
Yeah, so if we think about Makutu is a large ionic adsorption clay deposit. So, you know, think about a project Very, very, you know, low cover, so very close to surface. But it's a project that's bigger than the island of Manhattan, right? So it's a massive project in Uganda, rich in heavy rare earths. It's a development ready project. However, you know, there is still some work that needs to be done. The business as a whole is more prioritizing the recycling because the recycling is actually, in our opinion, fastest to market, fastest to revenue, fastest to tons. The Makuutu project itself will produce what's called a mixed rare earth carbonate. So it will produce an intermediate rare earth chemical precipitate, which would then go into new Western supply chain that's being built. But effectively, for that project to be monetized, it needs a refinery to be built outside of China that can process that material. There's a refinery being built at the moment in France. However, there'll need to be more refineries built. So there's a bit of a, I think, an inertia to be overcome with the development of primary assets that needs to be sort of worked through. That's why, as a business, we are focusing and prioritizing our recycling technology. Yes, we've got a design to be able to separate the Makuutu mixed rare earth carbonate. However, if we think about where the business is looking to prioritize investment and focus, we're focusing on the recycling. The Makuutu opportunity, I think, is probably second or third in our pecking order at the moment.
So, in terms of developing ionic technologies, is it when you say it's able to divide 15, are we talking this is something that's ready to go right now that's being used currently, or is this something that has to be still be developed as kind of timeline is a little bit further away?
So, where I mentioned, so our ability to separate 15 elements is correct. On the recycling, the real beauty of and the elegance of recycling is that we're really only talking about having to separate four. So it's a significantly simpler deployment of the technology, lower cost, lower technical risk. And so if we think about what we're doing now, we're doing that right now. We are what's called technology readiness level 8. So, you know, if you think about the way in which technology is ranked and evaluated by investors, it's a scale from 1 to 9. You know, effectively 1 being very, very early stage idea, 9 being commercial operations. We are currently at technology readiness level 8, and we're in the process now of completing a capital stack so that the financing for a commercial plant in Belfast, which means we are on the verge of being a TRL9. So, Steve, this is a technology that's demonstrated, it's robust, it's been through due diligence, it's now in the final stages of building out the capital stack to deploy the technology and to expand the footprint into other target markets.
So when I originally reached out to you, Tim, I thought I was reaching out to a junior company, a mining company. And we had this company before him. I know that you have a project, but I'm hearing you say that your main focus is this technology. So if you can kind of give us, and me and my listeners, just an understanding of what they're, you know, what who are your investors? What are they investing in? And where do you have buy-in? And how's the ownership breakdown? If you can also give us a share structure, that'd be great.
Yeah, so predominantly, our biggest shareholder is a US fund. They are not substantial, therefore I can't disclose who that is, but they're an investor that came in last year. Board and management probably control somewhere around sort of 5 to 6%, probably a little bit more of the overall stock. The top 20 shareholders control about 35%. We've got about 7,000 shareholders, so predominantly retail. But what's underway with the company now is this transition to more institutional support as we move towards a significant commercialization of the technology in the UK. We are attracting a lot of interest from strategic investors and additional government support in the UK that could see this business transform over the course of the next few months. In addition to that, we've got an MOU with a US company called US Strategic Metals on the potential to deploy the technology there. And we're talking with a range of other potential investors in the US on the commercialization rollout of the technology. So I think we're at an inflection point, Steve. You know, the company that we have been, as opposed to the company that we will be as the year moves through towards an investment decision and effectively building out the capital stack, should see a significant change in our register over a reasonably short space of time.
Tim, if you can give us just kind of the quick story of how you got involved, and who else is on your team, who are the big players, and do you have any institutions behind you now? If you can just kind of give us the share breakdown.
Okay, so I got involved with Ionic Rare Earths back in the start of 2020. I've got 26 years in the mining industry, and you know, my background is chemical engineering and hydrometallurgy. So a lot of time sort of spent doing exactly what I'm doing right now, and thoroughly enjoying it. On the board, I've got Brett Lynch, who's our executive chairman. So Brett, probably for you know a number of investors in North America will be familiar with Brett because he built what was Sayona Mining and North American Lithium. And then two other non-executive directors in Sufyan Ahmed and Max McGarvey. We've got some really strong strategic advisors. And so earlier this year, the company added Constantine Karayannopoulos, who was the former CEO of Performance Materials, and Jim Rutherford, who was formerly on the board of, or chairman of Centamin and on the board of Anglo American, but a long time sort of investment manager with a number of groups across UK and US markets. Then if we think about the wider team, Warren Tregurtha is our CEO of the Rwenzori Rare Metals, which is the entity that owns the Makuutu project, and he's also our CFO. Claire Blanchelande is our commercial director, and she's ex-Trafigura. And so she's running a lot of our commercial aspects around sort of offtake and sourcing. And we recently appointed a new chief operating officer in the UK, Sean Sargent. So we're building out the capability and starting to really expand our presence in the UK. We're looking at adding some more capability in the US. We're out looking for targeted hires at the moment in the US. And then if we think about, you know, our biggest supporter, you know, institutional shareholder, our biggest shareholder would be Argentum Creek, which is a New York-based fund. They came in as a strategic investor in October, September last year. You know, we continue to work closely with them on the potential rollout of the technology across those target markets.
Tim, for those who have questions, how can they find you? If you can give us your website, if you can give us last question also is how can we follow your news and just kind of the things that are maybe to look out for?
Yeah, great. So look, Steve, I would point investors towards our website. So www.ionicre, so ionicre.com. We have a you know a function on the website which enables investors or anybody interested in our story to sign up to our subscription. But also, if there's additional questions, investors and those interested can reach out. It's investors@ionicre.com, and you know we'll look to get back to those investors with additional information.
Well, Tim, great to meet you again and to hear more about you guys. Before I let you go, actually, are you guys looking to change your names, or is that the name going to stick the way it is?
Look, it's a good one. It's you know we sort of brought ionic adsorption clay deposits to public markets back in 2020. So you know it's an interesting name. I mean, look, I think that's a good question. It's one I probably can't answer just yet, Steve.
Fair enough. Fair
In
enough.
as far as you know, who knows what the future's going to hold for ionic, given the trajectory that we've got mapped out.
Well, Tim, look forward to hearing more about you guys. Love to stay in touch. For those who want to reach out to Tim, please do so. I'm not giving investment advice myself. I am currently not an investor of Ionic Rare Earths. That may change, but this interview has not been paid for. Again, not giving investment advice. Do your due diligence. reach out to Tim, follow their story, check out their ticker. Tim, thanks so much for sharing your story and being here with me here. And I hope the listeners can benefit and reach out to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.